A lot happening. Yes. You know, I remember Mickey Mantle saying this one time. He said, you know, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken a lot better care of myself. And sometimes, you know, we like to prepare, we like to be prepared, but preparation in the spirit is a lot different than preparation in the natural. Rudy Giuliani wrote a book one time on leadership, and he had 12 points, and one of those points was prepare relentlessly. You got to be ready for everything. And but I want to tell you this, if you're praying, if you're in the Word of God, if you're praying in the Spirit and activating your ears to the voice of the Spirit, the voice of the Good Shepherd, you will be ready. You'll be ready with a response for everything that you need to respond to. Amen?
Amen.
Really, you need to understand that God, He is the preparer, but we need to open our heart to Him and let Him be prepared. Because if you're just prepared with the natural things of this world, you're going to be deficient in a lot of areas. But if you are in Christ, in the Lord, and taking advantage of all the resources that we have in the Spirit, you will be equipped to face everything, to have a response for everything, and an appropriate response. You know, there's too much inappropriate things going on in our world right now. Let's look at our first scripture. It says, Isaiah 53, verse 1, says this, "Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord, what?
Revealed.
Now it says in Ephesians, Paul prayed gave the Ephesian church a prayer, which is a prayer of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, so it's a prayer for all of us. For the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Who is the arm of the Lord revealed to? Now, it doesn't say this. It doesn't say who is aware of this report. Who knows about this report? Who is familiar with this report? We talked about this as we opened the service today. It's not, knowledge is one thing. And if you know the report, fine. But that doesn't matter anything. You can know a lot of things and be totally, totally bankrupt spiritually. There are professors in so-called seminaries that know the Bible backwards and forwards, but they don't believe a word of it. Who has what?
Believed
our report. And until you believe it, it will not be functional in your life. It will not be activated. It won't be a living reality for you until you give your heart to, until you believe it. When you believe something, it's a lot more than just knowing about it. Amen?
Amen.
Let that settle. Who has believed our what? You know, there's so many differing reports, opposing reports in the world right now, especially with the fake news media and all of that. And then there are those on the other on the other side, and all this traffic, all of these words being, and you know, I don't care if it's the left-wing lunatics or the right-wing fanatics. You know, people think that between all these arguments, the truth is there somewhere to get. And I'm here to tell you, no, it's not. Even in the fair and balanced or whatever, it's not there. You know what? It says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, for all that is in the world, all that is in the world, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, we're talking about media-driven, we're talking about profit-driven ratings that they're all going for, and where there's an agenda there, you're not going to find the truth. All that is in the world, the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the next verse says, and the world is passing away. But those who what? Do. Where's that next verse, Barbara? Or John? John today. Thank you, John. Barbara's here. And the world passes away with all the lust of it. But he that does the will of God will abide or stand or remain forever. That's the side I want to be on. I want to be a doer of the word. You know, the will of God is the word of God. Settle that now. If it's in the will, that's the New Testament, by the way, is the new will and testament of Jesus. And he died so that his will is released now. You can go into that in Hebrews 9, the death of the testator. So his will is released. That means his word has become yours. And you pick it up, and when you do it, guess what? When the fire hits it and everything else, you'll be standing. Oh, I have joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Oh, yes. And he says this. Let's go back to Isaiah 53, John. See, I got that right. John. Who has believed our report? You see, what does Proverbs 4:20 say? My son, attend unto my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them, my words, not depart from your heart or your mouth, but keep them in the midst of your heart that you, what? Keep them in the midst of your heart. For those who find them, it is medicine, life, and healing and health to all their flesh. My words, our report. Now, I said all that to say this. God has a report about you, and it is good, and it is rich, and it is wildly inclusive of his love for you. God loves you with a love that cannot be understood with this peanut-sized brain. But you have the mind of Christ in your spirit. Amen? So let's declare our weekly confession together. Ready? Read. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Oh, is God speaking to you this morning? Let's just give it to him. Father, we just pause right now to take time and digest what that just said, what we just said with our lips and our mouth. Lord, that it be connected with the eternal spirit that we have become. Thank you, Father, to pledge to you to be doers of the word, that when we open this word, it's you talking to us. It's your heart being revealed to us. It's your plans being shown to us, shared with us, your fellowship with us. We thank you for it. Thank you so much for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you realize that God has issued an official report from heaven, from his very throne room, from his lips that came from his heart? He has issued a report about you. Not about the church, not about the crowds, not about this, not about that, but about you. He is a personal God. He's a personal God. And in that report, you will find that you have been considered to be a very special recipient of everything that will sustain you, not only through this life and in abundance, but also throughout all eternity. It is a powerful report. It's a good report. It's a full report, and it is a final report, and it cannot be altered, annulled, or dissolved. It's a permanent report. That report, by the way, if you're holding a Bible in your lap, that report is a document that you are holding in your lap. It's called the New Testament. It is the most powerful document ever written, filled and pregnant with life, freedom, and power. It is a wonderful description of the new you. It is the mirror of who you are in the spirit, a recreated human spirit that has been recreated in his own likeness. You want to read through the Gospels and see, get a picture of Jesus that is so, just keep reading the Gospels and reading the, and you find out more who Jesus is, you're finding about out who you really are in the spirit. Because that is who you are. You are a child, a son, a daughter of the living God. Amen. That legal document that God has bound himself to by the blood of his only begotten and beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Hebrews 1, verse 2. He has appointed him, Jesus, heir of everything. You know, Jesus emptied himself of everything. And look at where he is now. And look at what he has to look forward to. He is heir of everything. 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 Think about that. We live in a solar system that is in a universe that is still expanding at the speed of light, at the rate of 186,000 miles a second, exploding with stars and planets and solar. It's just exploding. That's God. And one day, even that will be all wrapped up and thrown away, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Not a refurbished one. Any more than your born-again spirit is not an improved model of the old. He didn't use any used parts. It was totally brand new. You are a new creation. We'll go into the language of that someday about the new birth. But there is nothing old about you. That old man is gone. He's dead. Your flesh is the residue of that old man. The mental habits and processes of the mind and your emotions that he left behind, that was well-trained in the system of this world, is run by a renegade who is against God. That's the way your mind was trained. That's why we need to get our mind renewed once we get our spirit born again. Amen? But the heir of all things, that'd be a good person to know, wouldn't it? I mean, what if you got a little memo? You got a little note from this guy, and he was the heir of everything. And he gave you this note and says, listen, I'm going to call you in. Come in, visit me. I want to give you I want to give you a part of this inheritance that I have. Whoa, that'd be a good news, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, that's concerning Jesus. He is the heir of all things. But the good news for us is that we are actually already included in that inheritance. Did you know that? Yes. Do this if you say yes, if you know that. Because you are included in that inheritance. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And let's read verses 15 through 17. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know, most of the church is so locked up in fear.
Yeah.
They're afraid to do anything, afraid to be wrong, afraid to insult somebody or offend somebody. Was Jesus ever afraid to offend anyone? Was the Apostle Paul afraid to offend anyone? Listen, we got to get the right idea of what Christianity is and what being a spiritual man of God and woman of God in this earth really is. We have not, why is he saying this to born-again Christians? I don't know. For you have not received the bondage, the spirit of bondage again to fear. You see right there, linked? Fear and bondage go together. Fear brings bondage. But you have received the spirit of adoption. Woo! Adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Do you remember the story of Mephibosheth? Yes. Jonathan and David had a covenant together, and Mephibosheth was a son of Jonathan. And after Jonathan and his father were killed, David had Mephibosheth, who was down in Lodibar. He was crippled. He was dropped when he was a child. He was crippled, and he brought him Some servants of the king, David, said, they showed up at his house. They said, we need to bring it to the king. Mephibosheth thought he was going to get executed or something because he was the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, who was an enemy. His mind was going nuts. He said, why? And he brought him to David, and David said, Mephibosheth, I had a covenant with your father. You're going to sit at my table. You're going to eat of my food. You're going to wear the clothes that we give you. You have no problems from here on in. Boy, is that a perfect representative of us and what Jesus has done for us? You have not been given a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the adoption, a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, that's the King James. Most of the newer translations get this right. It's the Spirit himself. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. And I do like the expression Holy Ghost because it's so friendly and he is so warm and friendly and gentle in his nature and merciful, kind. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs. Joint heirs. You know, Lori and I have joint accounts. We have joint like stock and holdings accounts. It's joint survivorship with joint tenancy with right of survivor, those things. And it's not just 50-50. If you have a joint account, joint checking account, I have 100% of it. She has 100% of it. That's what joint heir means. Hey! That's stuff to dance about. That you are a joint heir of all things, and as much of it as belongs to Jesus belongs to you. It is accessible by one thing, faith. If you believe it. Do you believe the report? Or do you just know about it? Or is this just kind of a religious concept to you? Or is this just kind of out there as a philosophy? No, this is spiritual law. It is finished. It is done. Joint heirs with Christ, if so be that you suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, Christian suffering, I don't have time to go into that, but let me just suffice it to say this. God will not require you to be under anything that he's already redeemed you from, and we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, which includes sickness, fear, torment, and all of these things, poverty. He will not require that. The Christian suffering is this, resisting the devil. Resisting temptation, resisting your flesh, standing in the Word. This is why it's so important to feed on the Word and feed on the Word and feed on the Word. You may say, well, I'm tired of reading that. I mean, I've read that 100 times. I know that scripture. Well, good that you know it. Do you believe it? Yes. That's good that you know it. But the thing is, I know what steak and eggs taste like, but unless I'm eating it, it's not doing me any good. I said that so many times, but it's the truth. And we still default, yeah, I know that. And you get tired of it. And they got tired of the manna. And they got tired of the quail. But God kept giving it to them. Why? Because he knows what's good for you. And his word is good for you. And his word, his report, calls you a joint heir. That everything that belongs to Jesus is 100% yours as well. And he's saying, the bride says come. The bridegroom says come. The Spirit says come. The Father says come. Eat at my table, drink of my living water. Isn't this good so far?
Yes.
Well, let's say that you got $1 billion in the lotto. Didn't somebody just win like close to $1 billion or something like that? I don't play the thing, but the thing is, let's say you got $1 billion. What would you do? Where would your mind go if you just found out that you're getting $1 billion? Your dream house is right here, you know. Your dream house, and you think of traveling and seeing the world and eating in the finest restaurants, staying in the finest hotels, going to the finest shows, rubbing elbows with anybody who's anybody. You know, you could go backstage with us. I mean, you're a billionaire. You won't even touch a door handle again. Why? Because you just received $1 billion. And if that's where you want to go with your money, I mean, if money, you know, there's a lot of people think who has the most when he dies wins. That's not the finish line. The finish line is not death. You know what the finish line is? Standing before the Lord. That's the finish line. And I want to honor him. So if I got that money, you know what I'd do? I'd fund a school, an alternative school, to help kids get out of that fornication factory. I'm sorry, was that too graphic? It's not near as graphic as it should be. Those things where they're telling you, this is the curriculum that they're coming out with this fall, that they've already come out with J.B. Pritzker and his gang, telling kids they can't trust their parents. They don't know what's good for you. It's us. We know it's good for you. And they confuse their sexuality, saying to kids who don't even know what sexuality is, they're telling them that they're either male or female. They get to decide that. They weren't born in it. Listen, and then critical race? No. Just teach them how to love God. Teach them how to get hold of God, how to God can get in them and give them the same love. You won't need critical race theory and all this stuff that does, it's garbage. If you teach them that God loves them, that he has a purpose for them, and they're going to love everybody. And if you have a problem with race, you're not going to enjoy heaven very much, because all of us will be there. Every race will be there. Every tongue. So get your tongue in agreement with him now, if you haven't done it before. If you're white and you have trouble with black people, or if you're Oriental and trouble with Mexican or whatever, get it right. There's only two races in this world. There's born again believers and there's not born again. Those are the only two races that exist as far as God's concerned. Because look, this is not my permanent color. That's not your permanent color. We are lights. He's the father of lights. You're going to be lit up so big and so bright. It won't matter what you were, what you are or anything right now. In fact, 2 seconds in heaven, you're going to forget all of this anyway. You won't want to remember it. And whatever you do remember, God will wipe your tears away. He loves you. He created you. He has a purpose and a plan for you. I will get into my message here. Hold on. See, you could take all that money instead of seeing the world and building yourself a house. You know, we talked about this earlier when Leah was mentioning about the serving in this house, and I want to thank you all who serve. Years ago, God told me to go into a nursing home ministry, and I hemmed and hawed about it, and my life just fell apart. But then I got the hint, and we went into the nursing home ministry, and about 3-4 months later, our whole life came back to us. It was just wonderful. Why? You know what I found out? You start building God's house,
right,
he'll take care of your house.
Yeah, good.
You know, it's like if you don't have time to do things for God, you're not going to have, you're not going to have time for your own stuff. But God multiplies. He's the master of time.
Yes. Right.
He made time. He created time. Time itself. He created. And when you start putting him first, he'll work all that other stuff out for you, and you'll have more time than you have plans for. And things will start to become a delight. And that's what had happened for us. I can only give you my personal testimony there, but it's also in the Word. Give and it shall be given to you. Whether it's time, service, money, forgiveness, whatever it is, you give, it shall be given to you. So start a foundation with your money. Get stuff into organizations that preach the gospel, that feed the poor, that clothe the poor, and get resources to people. That's what money is for. It's to build the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we've received something much better than $1 billion. We've received an inheritance. I want to read you something. In fact, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And as you turn there, let me just say this. Number one, we are joint heirs with Christ. There's no reason for anybody in the body of Christ to lack. And if you do, there's resources for you in the body of Christ. And we do our best to get you that too. Because in conjunction with being heirs with Christ, you need to know about a certain deposit that was made inside of you. Already, not just the new birth, but an equipping and an empowering. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But we, having this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not us." Listen, it's all that comes from Him. For God, now it says this in verse 7, it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." What treasure? Right, verse 6. The ability to call light to shine out of darkness. To act like our Father. If you see dark, in fact, do this. Get used to doing this. Point to this. Anything that's dark in your life, it starts in your thinking. That's where the devil plants a seed. But point to this and say, "I command you in the name of Jesus. I command light to shine into this darkness in the name of Jesus. You are flooded with light. You are filled with light. You have revelation and understanding of God. And in the name of Jesus, I command that light to drive out that darkness now in the Jesus name. Drive out that hatred, that bitterness, that resentment, that whatever it is that's blocking you. I have the mind of Christ in here, and I am renewing you with what I have in my spirit. And I have been given the right to command light to shine into the darkness of my mind. Thank you, Jesus." This is what David was doing when he said, "Rejoice, O my soul, and don't forget his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." Whew, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm getting lit. I'm getting charged here. Number one, you are a joint heir with Christ, and everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. It is accessible to you. If that were not true, he wouldn't have said it in his word. Number two is, we have a treasure in our earthen vessel. I want to read you something real quick about that treasure. How many of you are familiar with Rick Renner? Rick Renner is a Greek scholar, studied Greek culture, everything. He knows what the language is used for. He put it this way when he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us." He said, notice that Paul says, "We have." The words "we have" in Greek is ekoumen, which is taken from the Greek word echo. The word echo means to have, to hold, to possess, or to keep. It is a picture of someone who has something in his possession because it belongs to him. We have this treasure. It is rightfully his, and he has the right to keep it. You have the right to keep that treasure in your earthen vessel. When Paul uses this word in this verse, he speaks in the plural, including himself and all believers. His words could be translated this way: "We hold and possess as our very own this treasure in earthen vessels." Something that legally belongs to them and that they have a right to claim. The word treasure is the Greek word thesaurus, a word that describes treasure, a treasury, a treasure chamber, or a place of safekeeping where riches and fortunes are kept. It presents the idea of a specially built room designed to be a repository for massive riches and wealth. I'm not talking about money here. I mean, money has no place in heaven. We need it here on the earth. And so, you know, God knows that. Jesus said so. He knows you have need of all these things. But he's talking about greater riches, the true riches. By using this word, Paul declares that we as believers are the possessors of riches beyond belief. Moreover, we are the chambers, repositories, or treasuries where God has placed his fortune. I don't know about you. We already have and hold this wealth in our possession Therefore, it is not something we are trying to obtain. It is something we already possess. Just like the fruit of the Spirit, you don't try to get patience, you yield to patience. You don't try to get joy, you yield to joy. Live from the Spirit. Live from victory. Live from all these. And listen to this. Earthen vessels, this is also very interesting. He says, it's a phrase used to refer to our human bodies. The phrase earthen vessels comes from the Greek word ostrakainos. And I'm not Greek. Evie and Leah are. They could tell you this, but a word used to describe small, cheap, easily broken pottery made of inferior materials. This kind of pottery was weak, fragile, and valueless. So cheaply made that you would never see it in the wealthier homes. It was like a bargain basement dishes that were primarily used in the lower class neighborhoods, purchased by people. This is why he describes your body. But yet God has put his treasure in there and said it's yours. It's your possession. Because, you know, all life is like grass and the flower thereof. And, you know, there was a time when I was maturing and I became a fully mature adult. And then after that, the flower fades and withers and so forth. And you know, it's like, woo, it's gone, you know. But that's the way it is. And you know, there is no scientific reason for us to die at all. Because every cell in your body is renewed every 7 years. Everyone. There is no scientific reason for death. The only thing that explains it is by sin came by or death came by sin. Sin is a living reality. Jesus paid for our sins, right? But still, we will live in this earth. We will die, and we will carry on. Our salvation, parts of that, it's ours now. We are a recreated spirit, but we still have a flesh. Just the way it is. Nobody's getting out of here alive. And we will all stand before the Lord. You know? And nobody gets a pass there. This is where everything is settled. We will all stand before Jesus. That's going to be a different day. But you see, here's the way it goes. That word, the judgment seat of Christ, is called Bema. It's where gladiators would stand before the Bema to receive their rewards. This is not a judgment seat of condemnation. It is a judgment seat to determine the size of your rewards in heaven. That's what it is. We will all stand before the Lord. And your works will be declared by fire. And, I mean, there's some people with some big fluffy stuff, but when the fire hits it, they're going to find it was mostly wood, hay, and stubble, and it was not precious stones and precious metals. It'll be a big surprise to a lot of us. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that belongs to us. That's what's going to come out when we stand before Jesus. And he knows how to perfect a work in us. Amen? So number one, we are joint heirs with Jesus. Number two is we have a treasure in our earthen vessel that is beyond your wildest imaginations. Ho-hum. You guys there or what? I mean, this is powerful stuff. Let's look at 2 Peter. I want us to turn to, and I want us to really lay our eyes on this and really look at it for what it's saying. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle. You know, you've got to get your callings here in order. You may be a pastor, you may be a prophet, you may be this, but you don't have to tell everybody that. You just be a servant for Jesus, and he'll make that more than abundantly obvious to people. Amen? Don't try to impress, just be impressive. Be a servant. A servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power. Now, you got to receive this by faith. This does not make sense to your natural mind. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Let's see what this is saying. I don't know about you, but first of all, this absolutely thrills me that I have the same faith that Peter had. Even before he was born again, just hanging around with Jesus, his faith was water walking faith. Yes. You have the same like precious faith. You need to walk above something. The water, by the way, represents the word. Ephesians 5:26, the washing of the water by the word. Peter walked on the word, come. Lord, if that's you, bid me come. If you understand how Peter worded that, Jesus couldn't say anything else except come. He couldn't say, no, Peter, it's not me. Right? So he said, come. And Peter came and he walked on. He did it, man. He did it. That faith is in you. We have obtained. It doesn't say we're trying to get it. It says we have obtained. It doesn't say we have it doesn't say we've been given and this treasure in earthen vessels that you have to obtain. No, it says it's already yours. This faith is already yours. Yeah. You have obtained like precious faith with us. That was before he was born again. Then after he was born again, he pulled the guy up. First of all, as soon as he got filled with the Spirit, he's preached that sermon that got, 3,000 people saved right there. And he indicted the Roman governor and the Sanhedrin with the murder of the Son of God. It was the most masculine statement ever made. That's about the nicest way I can put that. Then he goes to the gate, beautiful, and says, well, you know, I don't have silver and gold right now, but here, in the name of Jesus Christ, what I do have is his name, and I give it to you. Rise and walk. The faith that Peter walked in. Then they brought people just that his shadow would hit them, and his shadow would heal them. Then he raised Dorcas from the dead. Then he goes to Cornelius, a Gentile. I'll tell you, his faith broke all the barriers. His faith just kept on spreading the gospel, getting people saved, filled, healed, delivered, and resurrected. That's the faith that we have obtained. When you start putting it to work, then you'll start to know how it works. And as you know how it works, then you will see that you're working the same faith that's in here, in the Bible, and it's now working in you. And you will be ruined for this world. Praise God. You see, Jesus didn't come to make people weak. And I think a lot of the church thinks that. He came to bring us strength, to empower us as overcomers. People are still waiting for God to move all their problems away from them. No, God doesn't do that. He's called you to be an overcomer. He's called you to take his word and his power and his spirit and overcome things in your life. He is your helper. He is not the do-it-for-you-er. Let that just sit there for a minute. He's not like those fathers who kid is trying to do something and his kid is trying to, oh, give me that, I'll do it for you. No, let the kid learn. Let him learn. You know, and if he comes in and asks, then give it, you know, tell him. Okay, well, let's see. You know, I was 5 once. I can work this out. Let's do it together. That's the way God is. You have obtained like precious faith. He came to empower us as rights of those who are heirs of all things with Jesus. Is this coming together for you at all? It's coming together for me. Full rights, privileges, promises, blessings, and everything in the new covenant that should be coming, springing to life. He came to empower us with his own faith that he demonstrated over and over and over. The same faith that Peter had, the same faith that Paul walked in, the same faith that Jude walked in, that James walked in. And we can see the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in James in Acts chapter 15. It's just totally active, and it annihilated the plan of the devil to divide the church. It was just an amazing, amazing thing. And then he says in verse 4, he says, was it verse 4? Grace and peace be, no, whereby are given unto us exceeding great, no, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of him who has called you to glory and virtue. Grace and peace be multiplied. In verse 2, John. God is a multiplying God. He said, you know, if you seek first the kingdom of God, these things shall be added to you. Yes, but grace and peace is a multiplication process. Now, Dwight brought up the hundredfold principle earlier, that Isaac sowed in the land of famine and brought forth a hundredfold in that season, in that first year. God is a multiplier. 10 plus 10 is 20, but 10 times 10 is 100. But he doesn't use, the word fold is an interesting term. It's what they say. If you fold once, it's double. If you fold it twice, it's 4. If you fold it 3 times, it's 8. If you fold it 4 times, it's 16. It keeps doubling every fold to the point where 30 fold is like 5 quintillion. So, I mean, it's unbelievable how much, but all of that is peanuts to God. All he did, say, sow in the land that I show you, or put your seed where I lead you. That's what he's saying. And I'll multiply it for you. It's not 100 times, it's 100 fold. And 100 fold doesn't even fit on my calculator. It's beyond that. I'd love to give you the answer for it, but I don't have it. That's how much he wants to multiply his grace. And grace is more. The definition of grace that I first learned was God's unmerited favor, that we are saved by grace. And then they leave it there, but no. We are saved by grace through faith. Grace is also an empowering thing. Grace is an empowering. Paul said, the grace of God works in me mightily. And that's the grace that God wants to multiply in you. 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 120, and it keeps on going and going and going. With very little effort on your part. Just do the word. According as his divine power is given unto us all things, all things, all things. We are heirs of all things because Jesus is. All things through the knowledge of him. See, you got to know this. I could put $1 million in your checking account. But if I never bothered to tell you about it, it wouldn't do you any good, would it? Until you checked your balance and you say, whoa! Whoa! That would change you a little bit, wouldn't it? Through the knowledge of him who has called you to glory and virtue. Glory means honor. God wants to honor you. And virtue means excellence. It's got a lot of different meanings. But God wants to honor you. He says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, he said, I will honor those who honor me. God wants to honor you. But it requires something from us first. We need to honor him. Put his word first. Put his word as first priority in our life. Final authority in your life. And it will rise up and live big on the inside of you. He came to empower us. He has given us rights of the heir, of the firstborn. God's just given me so much here. The firstborn. I can't. That's a whole thing. That's a whole message. Message of the firstborn. But you are in him, in Christ. As the firstborn, so are you. This is big stuff. Do you believe God's report or do you just know about it? Do you want to activate it and make it start working with it so it can work for you the way God designed it to work for you? God gave us the New Testament to work for us, not against us. God's grace is not insufficient. It is sufficient. Why? To do what? Keep us down? No. To empower us, to enlighten us, to equip us, to keep on encouraging us and tell us we have more than we think we know so that we can be more than conquerors. Through him who loved us enough to die for us and share with us everything that is his, that he inherited from the Father, which is all things, and then turn over and give you 100% access to it yourself. That is such amazing love. I can't really comprehend. Can you? Good, because if you could, it wouldn't be God. And the exceeding great and precious promises, by these we become, you know, when you take these promises, the promise of life, the promise of answered prayer, the promise that your words, that you can have what you say, according to Mark 11:23, when you believe you receive, when you pray, and all of these promises, you start to understand that you are partaking of something that is more than yourself. It's bigger than you. It is the partaking of the divine nature which you were born of. Your recreated spirit is the life and nature of God himself. It is, you are his offspring. You have his new nature now. You have his mind in you. You have the inner organs that everything is, that is God. And don't think that, well, Jesus is all and me here. No, all him is here. And where he is, you are. He said, I go prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. That doesn't just pertain to heaven and your mansion or whatever it is you think that is. But it now, there's always a place for you where you belong. There's always a place where you will be everything that God made you, where you belong, where you be strong. Amen. God has a plan and a purpose. He's unfolded a lot to us here, but you have a treasure on the inside of you. You have been called a joint heir with Christ. You have grace and peace multiplying in you every time you open your mouth and speak the word. Every time you speak to your mind and command light to shine, you have a treasure in your earthen vessel, and it comes out through your mouth in words that will not return void, but they will accomplish what you sent them to do. Why? Because God lives here. I am of God, and greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Yeah. Say that. The greater one, lives in me. The greater one lives in me. You might say, well, greater than what? Doesn't matter. He's greater. Doesn't matter. He's greater. Well, I hope you got something out of that today. Yes. If you didn't, I sure did. But listen to this, folks. Don't just leave it here and go on and say, well, that was nice. Right. That's being a hearer only, right. Not a doer. Right. Let's take it with us. Put it to work for us and allow it to change our thinking. I don't know about you. I need a lot of mind renewal every day, constantly, constantly, constantly. I need to constantly apply the truth. Continue in my truth and you'll be my disciples. And if you know the truth will make you free. Amen.